Welcome to Technology Espresso Cafe Radio. After 7 years, over 700 episodes, and over 70,000 listeners, we continue to stay nimble and agile. We want to engage our young people, parents, and educators to introduce STEM early by leveraging our curriculum based on Smart Sarah, Perceptive PJ, and their friends and family that promote diversity and inclusion. We also want to connect with our college and young professionals pursuing careers, especially in the field we know best, technology and IT. We also weave in tips related to the agile mindset and being agile to continue to promote a way of life that helps us learn to stay flexible, relevant, and ahead of the game in technology. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your technology and educational experience. And remember to listen, learn, leverage, and launch your dreams and reach your full potential.
There. We're going to continue talking entrepreneur A to Z, and we are still on the A's. We are not moving on until we exhaust the A's. It's the first letter of the alphabet, but there's some pretty meaty words related to this whole A category. And if you didn't already know, this is part two of the A series. We've covered things like active listening, adaptability, and assets in the first episode. Now I'm going to talk about analysis, and I'm going to use this whole episode to talk about analysis because most of you may know that I have a very strong background in business analysis, working with companies and corporations. As far as looking at their businesses, usually long after the startup phase. But all that to say, I know a lot of the problems that develop in the long run without some careful planning, whether you're big or small. I've taken all of that I've learned in corporate America, all of the good, the bad, the ugly, and trying to circumvent as many of the same pitfalls. And at the same time, there's some that I know that are inevitable. And with that said, is, you know, making sure that I'm prepared for those hiccups and those bumps. Now, the whole idea of analysis, that is dissecting things, investigating, research, doing your homework. Those are all words that I think of when I talk about analysis. One of the things when we talk about IT and software is we emphasize spending more time on the analysis phase, and then you'll have fewer surprises. You can't eliminate all of them, but fewer surprises when you get into the implementation phase. So the same goes for when starting a business is do as much homework on the front end. Be aware of what lies ahead of you, and maybe even that will steer some of your early decisions. Is this really what you want to do? Now, there's a very easy way to start approaching how you approach this. Now, you can ask and interview other people who have started their business. Some may have done the research, some may have done it on a whim or haphazard or just by blind luck. But by and large, you're doing yourself a favor by taking a little bit of time and using Google. I have a friend that refers to it as our cousin Google. Just ask your cousin Google. They know everything. So cousin Google, and type in starting a business roadmap. And like anything else, you're going to get more than 1,000
different images in particular, because I'm a visual person, so I like a good image. And some of them are very simple. I think the one that's the most simple has about 5 steps, all the way up to the one that has about 20 steps. And the reality is that they're both right, but sometimes you need to look at just the top layer. Just give me the top 5. Give me the big categories, and then let me drill down so that your mind can comprehend it. Because one of the keys is don't overwhelm yourself. Don't scare yourself to the point where you're paralyzed. And that's very easy to do. We call it analysis paralysis. So that's not what we're trying to do. But if I was looking at the big picture, you've got to keep in mind there's a preparation phase. There's the implementation. And then there is the ongoing, the development phase. Those are some of the big buckets. And you got to ask yourself, okay, what phase am I in? Did I shortchange myself on the preparation and now I've jumped into implementation? And from implementation, now we're into the ongoing, the development and the operation. And sometimes you're juggling and bouncing back and forth between those three, depending on how you went about it, how you started out in this endeavor. Sometimes you find yourself, and I know that there's a lot of kitchen entrepreneurs that you tried something, you got rave reviews from family and friends. Next thing you know, you might have been selling it and you've gone from making, you know, a couple of batches to hundreds of batches. And now you're in the operations phase where you got to figure out how to scale this. You know, you can't just do this out of the same kitchen that you're cooking your family's dinner. You need a professional kitchen now. And so you've got a whole new set of problems. So success comes with its problems and sometimes forces you to back into some of the key areas of planning. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, well, let me step you through peel back a layer. So you come up with your initial idea. You'll hear the word business plan, coming up with a business plan, a business strategy. And I know a lot of you, I can hear you, you're saying, do I have to? I've got a product and all my friends and family love it. But there is the moving from the friends and family zone into for public consumption. And again, the kitchen entrepreneurs, for example, there are rules and regulations when you are marketing something, when you're putting something out there. You think to yourself, oh, this is so good. I want to approach a grocery store or a Target or a Walmart to carry my product. Well, here's a common mistake that, and I've attended Target in particular, some of their calls where they talk about how do you get your product on their shelves. And one of the things they specifically said about food is sometimes when you scale a recipe, it doesn't taste so good. And when you try to scale it and also you have to reduce the price point to make it easily where it can be marketed, because again, we're maybe making it for your friends and family. You're using the name brand highest ingredients from, you know, your favorite store. Well, when you're buying mass and bulk, not so much. And so that affects even the flavor and the quality of your product. That being the result, you might end up with a product that doesn't taste so good anymore. So scaling is so important. So how do you take your business idea and look at it when you're selling it to 100 people, to 1,000 people, to 100,000 people? What does that plan and strategy look like? Furthermore, the whole design and production. When you have mass quantities, you need different types of equipment. You have different, you have to think about Are you going to be a part of that production? And there becomes that point too, as an entrepreneur, you have to figure out, when do I get out of production and I'm on the strategic end of things? Now, you might think that, oh, I just snap my fingers or blink my eyes or I start making enough money and I'm just going to sit in the office with my, you know, legs propped up on the desk and let it run itself. And that's great. If you're bringing along the right people who you are making sure they understand your value, your approach, your strategy, and can replicate you. I used to say, I need to clone myself. So you have to find the right people, the right person that can take that on. A lot of times you take on people who might be excited about what you're doing and what you're creating, but also at the same time might have their own agenda. And so they may be with you for a while, but taking your product and running with it may not be their ultimate vision. So what does that scaling look like? The design, the production. And then there's the selling and the distribution. And that is, again, making contacts, making connections. And sometimes out of sheer luck and just the stars aligning, the heavens opening up, you make one magical call or someone catches wind of your product and it takes off like wildfire. And you feel like, you know, and you've probably read about those stories, or at least you thought that may seem how it might read, you know, when you heard about it. But sometimes what you don't miss is the backstory and the years of just being completely unknown, or the trial and error, or the mistakes, or the setbacks. And that was one good thing when I did join with Target, and I'll share in the description the link if you're interested in finding out more about the Target program. One of the things, it's a lot of coaching, and they have webinars and Zoom meetings where they have people who have been successful come on and talk about their journey. And it just was very clear that these people had invested years to get to the point where they're at the table having the conversation. And when I say years, this means this was their full-time job. And so that in itself, there was a lot of investing in your own vision and sticking to it to get to the table, to get to the point where they're being featured on these calls. But there's a fair amount of people who have success stories having done that. So don't, you know, that you should feel encouraged, but also think of all the people along the way that just could not sustain for 3, 4, 5 years, continuing to try to build up a marketing, a following, doing their own production and distribution and selling, to the point to have it now on Target shelves. But that just speaks to that you've got to have tenacity. You've got to be in it for the long game, for sure. And then, you know, the other point, there's the selling. You at some point have to be the best salesman on your team. It's not just giving the vision to someone else and having them selling. No one can sell it like you can sell it. No one knows and has lived the story around your product. And a lot of times people want to know your story, and your story is what sells them, and then the product. Keep that in mind, and we'll talk about that more. So then market and marketing expansion. That's the strategic part. Now, I've really kind of just given you, I've started with the top layer, which was kind of the three buckets. Now I've broken it down into five. Take the new idea, create the business plan, design and production, then selling and distribution, and then market expansion. That is kind of a roadmap for a new business. Now, I'm going to take you down another layer, and this is where it really gets murky. And I mentioned to you, when we have these little conversations, when you push play, have a notebook next to you. And as I'm talking, you might have to hit pause, especially if you aren't online. If you're online, you'll see on the podcast, I put some pictures to help visualize some of the things that I'm talking about. But otherwise, grab a notepad. When it comes to, this is with the 20-step view of starting up a business might look like. You, first of all, you come up with an idea, and this next step, which is one that probably is reoccurring, is ask for help, get resources. Organizations like the Small Business Association, early on, seek professional support. When I say professional, not just other entrepreneurs that are kind of finding their way like you. They're great for networking, don't get me wrong, but also have a professional organization that can make sure, especially, that you have all of your documentation and those types of things in order. You've got the planning process. You've got the establishing your network. Like I said, a lot of times when we pivot from, let's say, our corporate job or our day job into our small business, it's a whole different network of people. It might be within your specialty. It might be a network of entrepreneurs. Depending on what your product and where your target market networks, you've got to pivot in that. A lot of my items are educational, so I have to pivot into the educational arena. So it was starting a very different network than what I previously had. Establishing your business structure. Who are going to be your initial startup players? They may not be with you throughout, but who are going to be your initial? The next one is the naming of the business. Picking the right name means everything. But I'm also going to give you a heads up. Names can change. We've seen big corporations change their names. That's okay. We'll get back to that another time too. Identifying, again, what is that physical structure? Are we going to have a location? Then once we kind of have the idea formed, next let's talk about business licensing. Are there professional licensing that we need to take into consideration? Then there's one big bucket, tax stuff. There's a lot to know about how taxes work. The next one is employment. What is going to be your configuration as far as employees? Are there business certifications? And from there, then let's talk about funding. Making sure or determining how are you going to make sure that you have about 6 months of income to sustain you through that startup period. And it often lasts much longer than 6 months, but at a minimum. Marketing, how do you reach your market? Where is your market? That's one thing to keep in mind. You can't always determine what is the right platform for your market. You determine who you're marketing to, and then ask the question, where do they get their information from? It might be an older group that their source of truth is Facebook. It might be a younger group that is leaning more towards Snapchat and TikTok. Those are things that you have to take into consideration. Or it might be a very older group that doesn't use social media at all. Those are things you need to be aware of. Really understanding the lifestyle of your target market. And I love the recent phrasing that I read, that when your target market is everyone, then your target market is actually no one. Because you cannot target everyone, especially right out of the gate. So really know, who are you targeting? Who is going to look at your product, like your product, and like it enough to put their money where their likes are? We don't just want social media popularity. We want to know who's going to actually pay the money. That's your roadmap. That's your starting point. And I've said a mouthful, but the front end analysis, these are the things that you've got to take into consideration. And so keep that in mind. Take your notes. Take some time. You may not jump into the next episode because there's a lot to untangle here. Find someone that is 3 years in the industry that you're targeting, someone that is 10 years in the industry, someone that's 20 years in the industry. Interview them, spend time with them, shadow, even work in an environment. If you're planning on opening up a hair salon, even if you're not going to work as a stylist, find somewhere where you can work as a receptionist for anywhere from 3 to 9 months and watch all of the ins and outs of the business process. That is your classroom. Something to take into consideration, and I welcome your feedback. If you've got some creative ways that you're approaching the startup phase, the analytical phase of becoming an entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. I'm Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. Stay tuned for Entrepreneur A to Z. Bye for now.